Some who work for the federal government on contract are due for a raise in this new year.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The federal government can't force states to raise their minimum wage levels, but it can raise wages for contractors. It'll be $10.10 an hour now that it's 2015. But as Tim Fitzsimmons reports, just how many will benefit from this is not clear.
The federal minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. Today's jump affects only new federal contract workers. But the thing is, according to David Cooper at the Economic Policy Institute, the government barely keeps track of the contractors working for it.
I would be hesitant to even estimate a ballpark number of how many workers would be affected by that change.
Here's what we do know.
Federal contractors tend to be paid very well, even in the service positions.
That's Kevin Brancato, a defense analyst with Bloomberg Government. He says, for instance, there are lots of well-paid contractors in the area around Washington, D.C. He sees the biggest impact as being mostly regional in cheaper parts of the country.
If you have a military base, which is in the middle of nowhere, which has a relatively low cost of living, there are also going to be relatively few workers there.
It's not just the cooks and cleaners on military bases. It's the people who sell concessions at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington and the people who sew military uniforms. They'll now be making $10.10, more than other minimum wage workers. I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
To review on this January 1st, the Dow Jones Industrial Average went up 7.5% for 2014. The S&P 500 did 11%. The NASDAQ Composite Index went up 13% in 2014. Your mileage will vary, especially if the portfolio was not tied to one of these indices. Can you name some Baltic countries that use the euro? Estonia, nicely done. Latvia, yes. And as of a few hours ago, the next one down using the standard Mercator map, Lithuania. If you missed our coverage of that on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org. In fact, it is there now. There's a massive trade show being constructed in Las Vegas today. Even today, supposedly a holiday. The Consumer Electronics Show, CES, opens next week, and it's the big one for e-gadgets from both the behemoths and the startups of the electronics industry. Nova Safo has more.
CES this year is preoccupied with pretty mundane objects.
Things like your toothbrush or your door locks.
That's Sean Dubrovac. He's the chief economist for the Consumer Electronics Association. Dubrovac says last year was a turning point in the move to take everyday objects and connect them to the internet. And this year, there are more such objects than ever.
So, for example, Adidas has a connected soccer ball and will measure your kick, how high it was, how fast it's rotating.
Obviously, there's privacy and security risks.
Adam Thierer, who's attending CES, is a technology policy researcher at George Mason University. He says consumers need to be more careful, but companies do too.
To make sure that these new technologies are as secure as possible and safeguard our information and do not share it too freely or openly.
Thierer says this is something a lot of companies have to think about, from marketers to entertainment producers and car makers. In Los Angeles, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
That's one trade show we'll be covering. But for a view from 30,000 feet on technology in this new year, I want to turn to my colleague Ben Johnson, host of our sibling program, Marketplace Tech. Good morning.
Hi, David.
So 2015, give me a trend.
Okay, so mobile payments. You've heard a lot about this in 2014, but I think it's actually going to be even bigger in 2015.
When you go to the cash register with the device that was in your pocket, boom, it's paid.
Yes, absolutely. And you've seen Apple release a mobile pay service, Apple Pay. This works with Apple Passbook. And all iPhone 6s will now have it. New Apple Watches, when they actually come out, will have it. We've also seen, though, a lot of growth in other services, like Venmo, for instance, PayPal's mobile app. There's another app being pushed by retailers called Currency, which is more centered around coupons and loyalty programs at places like Target. But there's still a big hurdle, though, for these newer companies and payment services as well. Here's Sucharita Mupuru at Forrester.
When we've asked consumers, who do you trust most, who do you trust least, in offering something like a digital wallet, their banks are the companies they trust most. Startups are the ones they trust least.
So I think, David, this trust issue is still going to be a hurdle for newer tech companies offering newer services in this space.
Now, one policy issue that we've been covering in 2014 that's not going to go away, I don't think, is network neutrality. What do you think, Ben? Are we going to get any final determinations about whether Internet service providers have to deliver data from all sources to all consumers at equal speeds?
Well, before the final decision, David, as you know from Game of Thrones, comes the final battle, right? So in January 2014, we saw Verizon win this court fight against the Federal Communications Commission's proposed rules about net neutrality. Early this year, we're going to see another set of proposed rules from the FCC. What's interesting is the FCC might actually try and do something called Title II, where it would essentially say that Internet service providers are utilities. They're public utilities and thus can be regulated and controlled by the FCC as such.
And even if the FCC pursues this Title II thing,
yeah,
we do have a Republican majority in both houses coming in, and they might have a different view.
Yes, I think that's fair to say. The new Congress could make things really interesting this year because the GOP does not appear to support net neutrality. And some Republicans are talking about passing legislation that would preempt the FCC's new rules. One of the other things on Congress's list this year is looking at the laws that actually govern the FCC itself. That could be a scary thing for FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler. He might not have the same powers with the FCC going forward.
All right. My good friend and host of our companion program, our sibling program, Marketplace Tech, Ben, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
And before we go, let us conjure an image in our heads. Think of the office kitchen. Grody plates left unwashed, coffee grounds drifting around on formica like dust devils. The Los Angeles Times has a piece about companies that are rethinking the office kitchen and turning them into collaborative workspaces that just happen to have microwaves and coffee makers. Kitchens are the collaborative space at home. Why not the office? This is a far cry from the television station I once saw in San Francisco that made its entire break room an iridescent red, furniture included, apparently after consultants suggested the painful color would dissuade people from spending any time there. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.